Ladies and gentlemen, guests, welcome to the third episode of Connect First. And today I have a great guest, our Force Comm Command Sergeant Major, Command Sergeant Major Sims, as our guest on the show today. Sergeant Major Sims, thank you very much for coming on today's show. And please tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
Hey, thanks a lot. I appreciate it, Sergeant Major Carnes. It's a pleasure to do this, especially from from Fort Bragg, North Carolina, where the sun's out and it's a nice morning. And I'm sure at JBLM it might be a little bit cloudy and rainy. I'm hoping the sun's out there. But I've been doing this for about 35 years. I started in the Army National Guard, and then after the Guard, I was like, I wanted to go active duty. And so I went to the Army recruiter's office and I was like, hey, I want to serve on active duty. They're like, hey, no problem. You got to go to Korea. And I was like, well, I don't know if I want to go to Korea. So I was walking out of the recruiting station. I looked to my right and I walking past the Marine Corps substation there. And it's like, I knew the guy sitting there. I was like, Craig, Todd, how you doing? And I walked in the Marine Corps office and this gunny comes walking out and says, hey, do you have what it takes to be a United States Marine? And I was like, yeah, if you don't send me to Korea. They got me out of my guard contract. I went in and I joined the Marine Corps and I went out to Camp Pendleton, California. And, so great 4 years. I met my wife, had my first child, while I was in the Marine Corps, did two deployments. Desert Shield, Desert Storm was a part of that. So, and the second time we went back, we went to this lovely place called Somalia. It was indeed a great 4 years of my life. Like I said, I met my wife there and we had our first child. But then it got down toward the end in 92, early 93, went during the Clinton drawdown of the armed forces. And I was like, I did not want to get out. And I get back from a deployment and I went to try to reenlist the Marine Corps. And like, we're not accepting anybody. I'm like, oh crap, what am I going to do? So went being a smart guy, I went to the Army recruiter's office and said, hey, you guys taking prior service? Like, Roger that. I said, well, I get out of the Marine Corps on Friday. They'll go be here on Monday. So I showed up on Monday. I did 27 days of, leave, if you will. And I went from Camp Pendleton, California, and reported in at Fort Campbell, Kentucky. And what I tell everybody, that the brotherhood of the Marine Corps was awesome. I still have, my best man from my weddings there. I still keep in contact with him. I keep in contact about 15 folks from my time there. But, once I came in the Army, I never looked back. So, it's been great. I've been stationed in all the lovely places, including Joint Base Lewis-McChord. But it's been indeed a great ride, and I'm looking forward to our discussion today.
Oh man, and a great career that you've had, and again appreciate you coming on here. And you said about your 35 years. I just turned 30 years in the Army in August. So today I want to talk a little bit about how everyone can stay relevant in the military as we continue to grow and get a little bit older as we go along. But of course, when me and you come in, remember, we had Vietnam vets in our formations. I can remember, I used to always, going to chow hall. Man, this chow hall sucks. And the Vietnam vets, obviously would say some explicit words to me, basically, sit down, shut up and eat your food, basically, right? You're getting some hot chow. And so today I just want to talk about a little relevancy and how we stay relevant. And, we were talking earlier about physical fitness, something that we haven't talked about on this, on our episodes here. So can you, talk a little bit about how you stay relevant in physical fitness as we were talking about earlier?
Yeah, that's a great point there. I think us old timers, what we're used to was you fall off of formation, right face, double time march. And everything was kind of graded. You were kind of graded on how well you could run. But those days are long but over. I mean, running's still important. I still love to run. But I ran the Army 10 miler. I've done other small races, but the focus on functional fitness is more important, not only for the ACFT, but it's important for your health. At being over 50 years old, and seeing, soreness in my elbows, my knees hurt, et cetera, and so forth. The auspice of H2F and what we've seen, with these professionals inside of our formations, but you know, the importance of functional fitness. It makes all the difference in the world, because you know, it's all good that you can run 15 miles at a 7:30 pace, but can you lift up the 290 pounds, 300 pounds, you know, to replicate stuff that we do in combat, you know, wearing that kit that we wore for all those years and all those deployments, you know, if you're not physically fit, that's going to break you. But it's important that we understand that, you know, it's not only important to be, you know, have endurance, but if we don't have strength to go with that endurance, I mean, you're going to be really irrelevant on the battlefield, because if your battle buddy falls out and you can't pick him up and move him out of harm's way, you know, it's not a good thing. So, I mean, the strong focus on, I used to say a long time ago, I was the only powerlifting marathon runner in my battalion, and just as an op star major and a battalion star major. So I was an avid marathoner when I was out there at JBLM. I ran the Capital City Marathon a couple times, 2 years in a row, and it rained the whole time, both of those races, but I still did it. But it was always important to me to still be physically strong. Like I always tell people, if I can't bench press my body weight, I don't need to be sitting down on a bench. But you know, that's all with just years of doing this, but then understanding how important it is to have strength in the rest of your body instead of just having an endurance. I know that's kind of long-winded, but I hope that kind of gets what we're talking about.
No, it especially it does. And you said a couple good pieces in there. You know, as we talk about, as you get older, your body starts breaking down a little bit, right? And we didn't have H2F when me and you were growing up, right? I mean, it was exactly like you said, basic formation, right face, let's go for a run, you know, push-ups and sit-ups. And so I think, you know, having holistic fitness is very important, and to understand the five pillars of fitness, right? So it's just not H2F. You have Army Wellness Center that does a lot of great stuff for you. You have readiness and resiliency, R2 centers that does some spiritual readiness stuff, which is important that me and you didn't have, and a lot of us didn't have as we were growing up. So to understand those programs and, you know, be able to go see them, I just went to the Executive Leaders Readiness Program yesterday, the AWC, and, you know, sitting down with them and going through some of their plans, because they'll give you a plan to help you to get better at your physical fitness. It's just not, you know, running, right? It's also, you know, that muscular endurance at the same time. So they gave me a good plan to be able to do that. And we've got to use those programs to help us. So not just don't we stay relevant, but also, so, you know, when we start breaking down, there's other ways to help you through physical therapy, through these programs to help you get better and get back out there, the formation, and be able to continue to, you know, do PT with the young guys. I might not be, you know, sticking up with the fastest of the young guys, but guess what? I'm definitely not last. If that's one goal of mine, is never to be last.
Yeah, that's true. I think it's funny. So I got some youngins that kind of work for me at Master Sergeant Simmons, and just hired a new staff sergeant. His name's Jimenez. They, you know, they're runners. So, I mean, I can take him to the gym and work him out, but then I'll take him out on a run and skin him up. They're like, oh, Sergeant Major. I was like, well, old guys can still do it. But just a good, you talked about the Army Wellness Center. I'm really motivated about how awesome that stat or what that does for not only myself, but for my spouse. So my wife and I both go there. And so get my fitness pal thing and all that stuff, get a good nutrition plan. And they keep us on track with, you know, body fat percentages and stuff like that. You know, the first time I went over there, I injured myself and I had PRP in my right elbow, and I was going through occupational therapy, and I was like, I got to go get my nutrition right. So they have, the first time in a long time, I went in that bod pot and I got a wake up call. I was like, whoa. But then, you know, focusing on nutrition and focusing on fitness after my elbow got better, it's been all the difference in the world. But my wife's seen great improvement from, you know, she's dropped over 70 pounds. So, I mean, the Army Wellness Center is well worth its weight in gold. And I encourage everyone that listens to this, if you haven't been to an Army Wellness Center, go.
Agree. And it's interesting you say spouses can go to this too. And actually, my spouse, my wife, she's going to go next Wednesday. Same thing. And as you said, it was a wake-up call. Yeah, it was a wake-up call to me in the bod pod also. And you said the importance about nutrition. That was another thing, as when me and you were growing up, We didn't have it. You go to the chow hall, eat whatever food they had, and you know, and then you drove on. Now we're getting better with nutrition and giving that plan. They gave me a good plan for nutrition. My Fitness Pal, you're spot on. Didn't know about that. Learned about that. And so, you know, I'm going to start using that because you're exactly right. Getting that nutrition right is just as important as going out there and doing that physical fitness. And, you know, having a spouse be able to go and help her or him, your spouses, be able to do that. Wow, I mean, that also, you know, will help some togetherness in your relationship to be able to do physical fitness, eat right together, eat right in the house, and then just, you know, not your spouse, but then make sure, you know, as your kids are coming up, we're also feeding them correctly too.
Yep, that's true. It's really true. And I think, you know, the programs that we have that, you know, that we have on our installations, we have to use them. And what better example than both of us going there with our spouse? Then young soldiers can see that, and young leaders can say, hey, it's actually making a difference. I think, you know, the more of us that go out there and utilize these programs is going to get the younger soldiers into those programs. Because you don't just have to go over there when you're or, you know, 600-9 if you're overweight. You can go there for anything, cognitive memory stuff. There's all kinds of great things that we have on our installations that, you know, quite frankly, we have to use. And, you know, it's good that both of us can say we've been over there so that we can maybe people will go over there and start utilizing those services.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And, you know, I've been telling the Sergeant Majors, you know, and the leaders lately, is we have a lot of, and you mentioned it, a lot of programs out there that we didn't have when we were coming up. A perfect example is FAP, right? FAP, you know, we had ASAP and now it's SUD-C. But what are the programs right now, and you just said it, is we're at the punishment phase where, hey, I get a DUI, then I'm going to ASAP, or domestic violence, then I'm going to FAP, right? Go over there and see in those leads of those programs, they have a lot of preventive programs to that. And again, as you know, we're talking about relevancy. I mean, being relevant to our Army programs that we have and using them to prevent something from happening instead of at the punishment phase. Now you have to go to some of these Army programs.
Yeah, it's indeed a sad fact that you know, we always wait till like right at that punishment phase. But I think encouraging folks to get over there and understand their installations. I know you guys probably run that run a squad leader course or two there at JBLM, just along like we do all over Forces Command. But I really like when they run the programs that teach our young leaders where everything is on installation. Hey, this is where FAP is. This is where, you know, SUD-C is. I mean, this is where all these things are, but these are the programs we can use to get left of the problem. And I think, you know, like 4th ID, they have a great young leader program. I mean, you guys out there have a great young leader program. I know all the way up in Alaska, they're doing some great stuff to, you know, teach younger non-commissioned officers how to be non-commissioned officers. So I think, you know, we're on to something. We have a bunch of great sergeants major out there and a bunch of great sergeant first class and first sergeants. So we got to continue to push the envelope with training our young leaders. It's not just going to, you know, BLC, ALC, SLC, and stuff like that. We have a responsibility as leaders to train our own leaders to make sure that they are fully prepared for anything that's going to face them.
Oh, man. And you know, and we've got to get after them junior, you know, NCOs and junior officers even too, right? We've got to get after them and help them get ahead of the ball game to where it's prevented and not punishment, as we're talking about, and showing them programs. You know, the one thing we're doing here is just not with the squad leader and the team leader courses that we run, but we're also adding it into reception. So what they'll do is they'll take a tour during reception with their spouses, with their children, and be able to go around and see these programs, be able to see the lead, get a little brief, right? What these programs are about, what prevention they have, and the location. Because that's another thing too, sometimes on these posts, like here at JBLM, right? It's a big spread out area. So understanding also where the location is of them different programs. And then, also, hey, use them social media platforms, right? Because that's another way to stay relevant is how do we use social media platforms? Because that's where a lot of, you know, the soldiers are the junior NCOs are, junior officers are, is on them social media platforms. So be able to also use them properly to be able to get the word out about all these different programs and our information that we're trying to get out to our formations.
Yeah, I think, you know, so there's a lot of us older generation folks that are kind of scared of social media. You do not need to be scared of social media. Just follow the Army guidelines. But then, you know, like for me, I like to post stuff. Every time I go somewhere, it's about soldiers. It's about my interaction with soldiers. Like last week, it was awesome. I went down to JRTC in Fort Polk, and, you know, 2nd Brigade, 4th ID is out in the box. But my first thing that I did is I went and spent time with Geronimo. I actually, you know, put on one of their uniforms, you know, put on my Miles harness and my halo. And then I went out and engaged the enemy with Geronimo. So, I mean, it's just something that, you know, hey, the old Sergeant Major remembers how to IMT. Hey, the old Sergeant Major actually got behind cover and was returning fire. But then I get to spend time with those folks that are out there, that their sole mission is to build readiness for our brigade combat teams. And they're woefully undermanned because, you know, I'm not going to go into all that stuff. But they're still out there executing a mission to make our Army better every day. But, you know, to be able to do that with them and then have a conversation with them at the end and ask them what their questions are about the Army, or what can I do as the Force Comm Sergeant Major to help your organization. So I get some great feedback. But it was great. You know, I took my uniform out, my I4 uniform off after that, and I put my OCPs back on and did a little circle, and I went right back and talked to the 2nd Brigade, 4th ID guys. So, and they're like looking at me. I was like, yeah, I was shooting at you a minute ago. But, you know, it's good. It's good for them to see. You know, we're talking about engaged leadership, right? It's good for soldiers at echelon to see the highest ranking Sergeant Major in Forces Command, like, show up, do physical training with them, go to the field with them, you know, like, play op four with them, you know, just be a part of what they're doing, so they have an understanding that, hey, this guy actually really cares. And especially when they ask a question, it's great. I had the force comm staff is a world-class staff, that they exist to take care of everybody that's out there listening. And if you have something that you need for our staff to tackle, you know, give it to me. I'll get to the right director and we'll make something happen. But that's all part of being approachable. And, you know, people will want to talk to you. And then, you know, when they give you something, you automatically give them an answer back.
Oh, man. Well, you said a lot of great information in there. You know, social media, believe me, I've seen your pictures. And you motivate and inspire me, because when I see those poster pictures, right, I mean, you're in full gear. Hey, by the way, you even have camo on your face, which is pretty cool, right? So that motivates me, and that's using the social media to show, hey, your locations and what you're doing, to be present, right, among the formation. And, you know, that's very important also to stay relevant, is the presence among the formations. You know, mine is, you know, going around, and anytime I see soldiers, I engage, number one. Number two thing is going to motor pools and motor pool Monday, right? And just walking around. I'm not looking, you know, and we can find some negative stuff that's going on in the motor pools, right? And don't get me wrong, I'm a non-commissioned officer, I make corrections. But I go down there and look for some positive stuff. Hey, what's going on? Hey, how can I develop those soldiers? Sitting down and talking to them, and literally sitting down, right? I was in my little ranger chair when I was an RI. So, you know, I have that, and I'll sit down and have a discussion with them. Just a bunch of them get around, and we just discuss and BS about some things. It's amazing whenever you, because you know when the Sergeant Major's talking, the defense is up. Uh-oh, Sergeant Major's here. Someone's going to get in trouble. I want to get those defensive down and have them relaxed. I want to have an authentic conversation with them soldiers to be able to find out what's going on. And there's a couple things. Number one thing, I'm learning about the organization, so I'm getting developed. And I'm also developing them at the same time to help them become better soldiers and in the future become non-commissioned officers, or, you know, the officers that are also there become better officers and become better commanders in the future.
Yeah, you hit on some great points there. I think, you know, the leader development, and it just also not only developing your leaders, but you have to develop yourself as well. So, you know, we always talk about lifelong learning. You know, I just reread The Infinite Game, and I picked up the book Legacy. So I really want to see, like, You know, I think about the All Blacks. You know, I think about the Hoka thing when they're doing the dance and all that stuff. But they were a dominant force in rugby. So I want to see how, you know, some of the stuff they did in their organization can kind of correlate to, you know, Forces Command or anything. So I mean, I recommend it highly from a couple folks. So I'm gonna give it a read and see how it is. But you know, to continue to stay relevant with what's going on, you know, there's a ton of podcasts out there. Continue to read. I think it's important, you know, that we keep our vernacular going. So it actually helps you write better when you're sending emails back and forth to people and stuff like that. But like I always tell people, you know, the college this, college that. I say I plugged away one class at a time until I earned my degree. You know, because you get the tuition's assistance. It's right there. It's, you know, go to college and get an education, because in the long run, when this is all done, you're going to be thankful that you did that. But I think, you know, open and honest dialogue is key. And, you know, you hit on the corrections and stuff. You know, our NCOs, our young non-commissioned officers, cannot be afraid to make an on-the-spot correction. They're empowered in the AR. It's perfectly written in there. You're allowed to, you know, make an on-the-spot correction. And you know, people can't be afraid of that. And, you know, I'm going to get investigated. No, if you're doing everything appropriately, according to the Army regulations, you're not going to get investigated. But if you do and you're following it right, everything will be okay. But you had some good points there. And I just wanted to bring up, you know, hey, not only, you know, for the leader development, sit down, talk like you're talking about aspect, but we have to continue to develop ourselves. That way folks will see, hey, you know, if I quote something from a book or something, hey, this is like a book from my era. I'm quoting something from it. Hey, they actually read and you know, they kind of think about like what we're thinking about. But there's a lot of avenues out there, but you know, that's I just threw that out there for you.
No, and you bring up a great point about self-development, right? And everyone has to understand, and you said about reading. We also, you know, we got also to read doctrine, right? And you know, the great thing about it is the Army makes these great audiobooks now that'll actually read it to you. Or you download it from the Department of the Army publications. It comes in a PDF, and then you put in a PDF reader, and it'll read it to you. So trying to get them to, you know, understand, hey, you've got to read doctrine, because then that's how you're going to make some of the corrections, right? Understanding about beards, understand about ponytails and what all the policies say, what regulation says, so you're informed to be able to make them corrections. And that's self-development, as you're talking about reading. And it's just not reading doctrine, you know, also reading other books too. I mean, I just got done reading 10X by Grant Cardone. I mean, a great book. Yep, it's a business book, but you can relate some of the leadership stuff in there toward the Army and what we do. So I agree 100% with you. And that goes also back to, you know, social media. You know, getting on there and understanding and watching these podcasts, watching different, I mean, there's tons of stuff on YouTube. I mean, you just go in there and obviously, you know, type in what you want to watch, and it'll have something on there in YouTube on how to do stuff. I mean, shoots, I went in there and it showed me how to fix the brakes on my truck, right? I mean, you can go in there and get YouTube videos all day long, and there's some, a lot of great leadership stuff in there. And then, you know, but we have to understand on, hey, how to use social media, i.e. by the Army policy, as you're talking about, and Army guidance. But then when does it come to where, hey, I need to pick up the phone and give them a call, or, hey, it's face-to-face time, right, instead of using that social media platform. So there's a balance there in understanding, hey, okay, here's social media, boom, I got to, you know, use it, understand how to use it, but then, hey, time to pick up the phone, time to do face-to-face instead of using that social media platform.
Yeah, you can never underestimate the power of face-to-face interaction. You know, because you know, we went through COVID a year ago, you know, and like that absence of presence was kind of hurt. You can kind of see some of the of what's happened with the absence of presence. But you know, during that whole time, it was great because you know, we did have General Garrett, and General Garrett and I still traveled. We wore masks. We did all the appropriate things we were supposed to do. But it was important for us to still get out and spend time with the formation because, you know, you can never stop what we do because we have to be ready to fight our nation, fight and win our nation's wars. So we had to continue mission. But it's indeed, you know, I kind of chuckle at YouTube. So one of my things I love to do is I love to cook. So I watched a lot of YouTube stuff on how do you prepare this or how do you prepare that. Just got a pizza oven. That thing's amazing, by the way. So if I recommend anybody one day, if you have a few extra dollars, pizza ovens are amazing, and YouTube will give you some good period of instructions so you don't burn everything. But yeah, so it's indeed good to have things like that. But it's important to have something else to keep your mind off of like things. So hobbies, like what really gets me going is like folks that you become the Xbox champion of the barracks. I mean, like think about JB Lim, all the things you can do there. You can go to Mount Rainier, you can go to the ocean, you can go down the Oregon coast. Don't stay inside the barracks. Get out and do things. You got MWR. You get all these great things, the BOSS program. Get out and utilize that stuff. Don't let your legacy be, I was the Xbox champion of the barracks for the past 4 years, and you never got out and did anything in your community. All of our forts have such great communities around them, and it's indeed a shame where folks don't take advantage of that.
Nope. Agree 100% with you, right? I mean, and you said it when you come on there, right? About JBLM, it rains and it's cloudy and everything like that. But guess what? Put a raincoat on and get after it. I mean, I just went for a bike ride last week and in the rain, right? Still getting after it because you got to get out in the environment and just deal with it. Because you're exactly right. There is a lot of stuff to hear to do at JBLM and also the surrounding community. And the community loves us here. And is willing to help out wherever we need helped out, right? And so that's an interesting also other point is, as leaders, as you grow up, even as you start out, is, hey, don't be afraid to raise your right hand and say, I need some help. I mean, I just did it, a couple weeks ago. Hey, I raised my right hand. We are having some challenge here at JBLM. I said, hey, I need some help, reached out, and guess what? And people helped out. Came together and we solved the problem, right? So just one rate, hey, I need some help. And you said it earlier about taking action and come up with a solution to fix the problem. If you know you have the problem, raise your hand if you need some help. Hey, I need some help. Come up with the action plan and then come up with a solution to fix it. Don't let it continue to be a problem.
Yeah, that's great points there. I think for a lot of the senior folks, you think that this guy knows everything. Well, absolutely not. But what's really cool is if you raise your hand and ask for that help, you got staff members around you have experts around you that can arm you with the information, because there's nothing worse than going out and doing something and people are going to see right through you if you don't know what you're doing. But surrounding yourself with people that have skill sets that you don't, but then don't be afraid to ask somebody, hey, how does this widget work? Because you're getting ready to go visit soldiers that are using this thing, and you don't want to be like, oh. So it's indeed important to have the, it's really the guts, really emotional intelligence to be able to say, I don't understand this. I need a little help, especially before you go out and you're engaging with folks that are actually using that piece of equipment.
Oh man, yeah, be humble. I'm humble all the time. I'm always asking questions, right? And I think, one thing also, as we talk about relevancy is asking questions. Again, just not raising your hand, hey, I need some help, but asking those questions. Because a lot of people are like, hey, I'm not gonna ask the question because I don't want what other people think about me, right? I'm not worried about and I don't care what people think about me because it's for my development. Right? So I'm asking the question for my development to get me better. Because you know the deal, if you don't ask that question, you're going to leave that room or leave that conversation and you're still not going to know what's going on. Right? So you got to ask those questions to help you understand what's going on, to remain relevant. As you're talking about, I mean, the Army's modernizing, right? And there's a lot of new equipment out there. Same thing. Hey, I got to ask questions too. I get out into formations, and I see them messing with equipment. I go ask the soldiers, hey, what's this equipment? Teach me about it because I don't know about it. And, help me out. You're the subject matter expert. Show me, what this capability of this equipment is to get me more knowledgeable, so then I'm there to help them out in the future if need be.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I think, thinking about remaining relevant is, our attitudes have to be one of, You have to have a positive attitude. You can't be the negative person all the time. Because you think about a long time ago, like sergeant majors, like get off the grass, pick up that piece of trash, and everything was like you remember it. There was a lot of negativity, getting yelled at, or if you look at somebody wrong, you get persecuted for it. We're still going to uphold standards, mind you, like get off the grass and pick up trash. Some of that stuff needs to be done, but then having that positive attitude where soldiers will actually engage with you makes so much of a difference. And it for me, like going around, it's like sometimes I don't smile a lot, but then when I'm spending time with soldiers, I actually smile a lot because I'm doing something that's important to me, and it's also important to General Pappas that we're out there engaging with our soldiers across the formation. Sometimes I might have my head down, but I got a great team, Sergeant Major Terrell and Master Sergeant Simmons, that make me pick my head up and smile. But the attitude is so important in doing what we do. And I think if you don't have a positive attitude, it's not gonna you're not gonna have that connection with your formation. You're not gonna have that connection with one another to actually accomplish the mission.
You're exactly right. And it's having that conversation with them, right? And I remember it when I was a private, good Private Carnes, Fort Hood, Texas. My first duty station, I wasn't able to go home on Christmas leave because I already took my leave before that. And so, no one was around. And here, I was going across this big field. And everyone did PT in this field. So I was walking across and I hear from on nowhere, get off the, and obviously some explicit words again, get off the grass, right? And I'm looking around, I was like, where's that coming from? And I look over, it's a sergeant major, get off the grass. I was like, oh crap. I was like, yes, yeah, sergeant major, right? So, what everyone has to understand, you can make corrections without all the explicit, right? I mean, I make corrections all the time and I go up and just talk to the soldier. Hey, talk to me about, your ponytail, or talk to me about your beard, or hey, why are you walking across the grass when there's a sidewalk there, right? And have a conversation with them to understand why they were doing what they were doing. And most of the time you'll find out that they don't know what they don't know. So you've got to help them figure out what they don't know so they know it, right? And that's again, then also pointing out the regulation. Hey, here's what the regulation says. Go read it. Or, even better yet, hey, let's go, hey, I'll come see you, in a day or two, wherever you're at, and then we'll go over the regulations. So you get the regulation, you read it, and then we'll come and we'll talk about it in the future, right? That's engaged leadership. That's being open. And they're feeling more comfortable to come talk to you because guess what? I'm not screaming at them because automatically, again, when the sergeant major is talking, defense is up. How do I get the defenses down? But just having a conversation. They say this hard conversation. It's not a hard conversation. It's just to have a conversation with them and talk to them saying, hey, how's everything going? I mean, I've talked to somebody for 5 minutes and figure out that they had family here at JBLM. They're coming up on the reenlistment and they want to stay at JBLM. Done. Made it happen to be able to keep them at JBLM and career progress at the same time, right? Just by a simple little conversation of 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's important to be able to it's so important. Communication, it's the lifeblood of what a non-commissioned officer is supposed to do. And we're a little bit more comfortable at doing that. And we kind of I kind of talked a little bit about the COVID thing, how that people operated off text and cell phones. We have to make our young non-commissioned officers, I mean, we not have to make them, we have to train them to be confident to have those conversations and not just like start texting, keep their head down and into a phone. It's important. Yeah, the communication, it's uber important for our young soldiers, but it's important for us to be able to communicate that, and they can see the free-flowing confidence and the comfort we have in communicating. So, we can build that next, Sean Carnes and that next Todd Sims. So, one day when we're fishing or playing golf or something, we're looking back and saying, hey, that's my legacy. I actually helped develop that young leader to become that the next, First Corps or the Force Comm Sergeant Major.
Yeah. Oh man. Hey, and I appreciate our communication today and our conversation today to be able to bestow our knowledge on the future force. I mean, that's what we're doing here. So again, I appreciate Sergeant Major Sims, you coming on here today, and I'll turn it over to you for any last comments that you want to put out to our audience.
Hey, To be able to, have a conversation with you, but to be able to talk to soldiers across Forces Command there at JBLM. But I think thinking about all this stuff, remaining relevant and engaged is number one. We have to remain physically fit, and at 0630, you're out there in formation with your soldiers, executing good physical training to prepare yourself not only for the ACAT, but prepare yourself to fight and win our nation's wars. Super important that we are there, we are present with our team. Never forget leader development. Not only includes developing other leaders, but you have to develop yourself to remain relevant. That's like relevant. But don't be afraid of social media. Face-to-face communications is one of the best ways to actually talk to with each other. But I didn't bring this up, but I have to bring it up now, is never underestimate the power of a written note. That little written note saying you did awesome and send it to them, that means a lot to folks. And then, kind of capping it all off about being relevant is your attitude and your character is gonna make all the difference for your organization. So make sure you have a positive attitude. You kind of got your character from growing up in the Army, and we don't get to certain levels without having good character. But for the younger soldiers and non-commissioned officers out there, find somebody that's a good mentor and somebody that can help you develop you and make you a better leader. But hey, it's been great. I hope to see you soon. And if you ever need me to do anything else, just reach out. I'm here to support you.
Yeah, and I know you are because I've called you plenty of times, and I think we're going to have another phone call about a couple of things. And you've definitely helped me out, and I appreciate you being an open door to me as a Sergeant Major, So again, to the audience, Sergeant Major Todd Sims, thank you very much for coming on today's episode 3 of Connect First. So thank you very much, and I'll just leave this with everyone. Hey, how do you remain relevant within your formation? Whether you're an officer, when you're a non-commissioned officer, whether you're a soldier, how do you remain relevant within your formation? So thank you very much, and I look forward to our next episode, episode number 4 in the future. So thank you very much, Sergeant Major Sims. Have a good week.
Thanks, brother.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to Connect First Podcast, where we discuss leadership at its core. You can find Connect First on all your major podcast streaming platforms. Follow First Corps on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for information on upcoming episodes, as well as all things First Corps. Rate, review, and subscribe to us on YouTube and click that notification bell so you'll know exactly when we drop a new episode. Till next time.